The scripture reading for today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. Now when Jesus heard that John the Baptizer had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road to the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of God, of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
So our story today begins with three prophets. Prophets are not very contemporary roles, though I think we could probably use a few prophets about now. But prophets were very important characters in Hebrew scriptures. In the Hebrew scriptures, the prophets are the mouthpiece of the divine, the Almighty. In the Hebrew scriptures, they are not foretelling the future. They speak to God's call to repentance, reminding the people who they are as God's people and how God's ways guide and shape the people's lives in the world. Prophets are oft-quoted authorities in the New Testament Gospels and in Paul's letters, and sometimes, as you heard in this text, they are used to say, "See, what the ancient prophet said has come to be." Quoting them is a bit like our Congress people invoking the founders of our country and the framers of our laws and governance to remind us why we are who we are. For the communities that hear the earliest Christian writings, quoting a prophet adds certification regarding facts and verification of God's holy intent for human beings and for creation. And so Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, which was written for a Jewish community of Jesus followers, begins this story with three prophets. One has just been arrested for being subversive to the state. He preaches allegiance to God before allegiance to religious and political authority. John the Baptizer's life is in grave danger, and soon he will quite literally lose his head. Another prophet, long dead but much revered, is quoted to give legitimacy to the prophetic ministry of the third prophet. And perhaps because this third prophet has recently been associated with John, he has moved from his hometown, moved farther north, maybe to be less in the public eye of religious authorities and political authorities in Jerusalem. And according to our gospel writer, to fulfill what the ancient prophet Isaiah said about him as savior of God's people. This one will come from the land near the Sea of Galilee. And so we find Jesus in Capernaum, right on the Sea of Galilee. And we know that eventually Jesus will also be arrested as a subversive. But right now, that's 3 years down the line. His public ministry is just beginning. So I wonder, if he wants to stay out of trouble, why does Jesus begin his ministry with the same line that got John the Baptizer into trouble? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. Well, perhaps Jesus delivered it in a little kinder and gentler manner than John was reported to have delivered it, with more fire and brimstone. But still, this is a subversive statement. It is code for turn from the ways of Rome to the ways of the Roman Empire, the oppressor, Roman ways of splendor and military force that have been adopted even by some of the Jewish authorities. Turn from these ways toward the ways of God, the ways of justice, peace, and joy in God's Holy Spirit. The Holy One, Yahweh, is the ultimate authority, not Caesar in Rome, not Herod in Jerusalem. Repent. God's realm is near. God is near. Now, one might think that this prophetic proclamation in the, as a legacy of Hebrew scriptures would not be alarming or subversive to Jewish authorities, but it is. Familiar as it is, the Jewish authorities of Jesus' time seem to be putting the emphasis on the kingdom, the realm, the kingdom of God is near. For they are looking for an earthly kingdom that will expel and defeat Romans and an earthly savior to replace Rome with a Jewish kingdom. Jesus, however, puts the emphasis on of God, God's justice and peace that are larger and much more lasting than any earthly kingdom, larger than creation itself. The kingdom of God is near. God's infinite and eternal realm of love and mercy and compassion and abundance that is not just out there, but also near. In fact, right here. In fact, within us. A realm where God's will is done on heaven, on earth, as in heaven. God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the light that Jesus brings to the people, the Jews and the Gentiles of his time, the people who are sitting in the darkness of oppression, poverty, persecution, and death, those who do not know or have forgotten the deliverance of God, who have forgotten that God's realm is always near. God's ways are here to save the people from the darkness of hopelessness and despair. In fact, the gospel writer in Matthew tells us in chapter 2, when Jesus is born, that he is prophesied as the one named Emmanuel, God with us. So it's no surprise to hear from this same writer that Jesus begins his ministry with the proclamation, "Repent." God's realm, the realm of heaven, the realm of God, is near. And reading between the lines, the gospel lines, we might hear, God is with us. Now, I'm guessing that in this story, the fishermen, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and James, and John, with their father Zebedee, have heard this proclamation before in the seaside towns around the Sea of Galilee, before they meet Jesus on the beach there. I'm guessing it's not their first encounter with this rabbi. Or if it is on that day, I think perhaps a wonderfully intense conversation ensued on the beach before Jesus gave the call, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of people." I imagine that the good news, God is with us, has already been working some way in their hearts and minds and imaginations. They've heard it, and maybe they're thinking, how can this be? God is really with us now, the kingdom of heaven now. This is life-changing news, news that eventually does impel these fishermen, these rough fishermen, to leave their nets, to follow this man, to help spread this news of holy revolution so that others might be caught up in its nets of saving grace. And I have to tell you that my imagination also asks, what about the women? As good Jewish men, no doubt these fishermen had wives and probably children. So where are the women? They can't be simply quietly, subserviently cleaning the fish. What do the women say when their husbands are called away from their source of livelihood and into ministry following this itinerant rabbi? Have the women heard this rabbi and been changed by God's good news? I can only hope this is the case. Otherwise, can you imagine the conversations at home? You're going to do what? We have no way of knowing this, but I hope that the Jesus who goes out of his way to see and hear, to acknowledge and respect, to heal and uplift women in Matthew and in all the Gospels, would not be insensitive to the women, to families, in this first gathering of beloved community. I hope, I imagine the women heard the call in their own way. Perhaps they went with. Perhaps they agreed to hold down the fort at home so that their men could go and discover more about this rabbi. Let me tell you why it's important to me that all are included as I echo the call to this beloved community, to you, men and women, youth and children. Whether your pronouns are she, her, hers, or he, him, his, or they, them, theirs, hear the call of the one proclaimed God with us. Repent, listen, turn back to God's ways, for the realm of God is near. And it begins with Jesus gathering community. He doesn't go it alone as an outlaw prophet and healer. He gathers followers willing to learn with him, to work with him, to spread God's news, good news, which is just as good today and just as likely to be hidden by those who emphasize the kingdom or the realm part of the proclamation over the of God part. Jesus' proclamation, repent, God's realm is near, turn around, listen, is still good news. And Jesus is still calling, follow me. So are we listening? Will we make manifest God's realm in the coming year as God's beloved community here at Plymouth? Will we spread the news like nets of saving grace across our community, and will we bring God's love to a very troubled world? And how will we do this? Well, I have some suggestions. Perhaps by praying for enemies so that our hearts are transformed with compassion. By turning our anger into curiosity to learn more about those who disagree with us or oppose us. By inviting others into this community, sharing with others the gift of Plymouth as we endeavor to follow and share God's love and peace and justice. By remembering and acting on the trust that we live in God's abundance and not in the lie of the world's scarcity. By lovingly, and firmly speaking the truth to power. By courageously acting with more trust in God's saving power and guidance than we ever thought we had. Moving forward together as God's people, the beloved community of Plymouth. This is our call, my friends. This is our challenge as we meet in our annual congregational meeting today to prayerfully do the business of the church, to be in community, to look toward the future together. May we answer this call by courageously following into deeper relationship with the Holy One, deeper relationship with the ways of the prophet and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and deeper relationship with one another as God's beloved people. Will you? Will we follow? Amen.